This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on the topic of Given to Hospitality with Mrs. Bonnie Furso. Mrs. Furso has been on staff at Lancaster Baptist Church for over 20 years, and she serves as Dr. Chapel. And she serves as Dr. Chapel's administrative assistant.
My name is Bonnie Furso, and the Lord has allowed us to serve here for 22 years. That's hard to believe. And it's been a joy. And I'm glad you're here. If we had the time, I wish I could go around and meet each one of you. And as I'm looking around, I'm seeing familiar faces. And to see what you... Hi there! To see what you do in your church. How many of you are pastors, wives, full-time ministry, or just faithful lay people in your church? But we don't have that time, so... I've prayed and asked the Lord to use our time, not just to be a happy little session, but to really help you. Maybe you'll take something home, or maybe this will provoke you to do more than you're doing in this area of hospitality. And as I was coming down here, honestly, I thought, why would anybody come to this session? Do you want to be more hospitable? Are you struggling in that area? Or because I might spank you a little bit. I don't know. So I hope that this lesson helps you. And as I'm about to pray, I want you to pause and I want you to pray in your heart and say, Lord, what would you have me to do in this area of hospitality? Our pastor encourages us as a staff in this area, and you don't have to be married to be hospitable. You can work with the ladies, our single ministry. Everybody needs encouragement, and you know how Baptists are. We all eat a lot of food. It seems like you ever go on a diet and you think, I can't go to that. I can't go to that. They're going to eat this. They're going to eat that. Hi, honey. I couldn't resist. I'll tell them later why I said that. So, but everything seems to revolve around food. So we have lots of opportunities to be hospitable. So as I pray, will you pray in your heart and say, Lord, please speak to me. And then in about 30 minutes or so when we're done, I really hope that there's something that's been pinpointed in your life that you can take and use and not forget tomorrow or next week, but really take it with you. So let's pause and let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this conference, and I thank you for how you've brought us all together. And many ministries are represented this week, and what a joy it is to come together almost like a family reunion and see people who have graduated from the college or have come through our paths. I see familiar faces of people that I've seen in years past, and I don't always remember the names, Lord, but I do remember the faces, and I thank you that they're faithful. They're back again this year, and I pray, Lord, that this time would help each lady as you speak to their hearts and prod them and provoke them, Lord, as to what they can be doing differently to be used of you, to use hospitality as a tool in your hands to encourage and help others, to mentor and discipleship. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Put my glasses on. So, my next slide, Amanda. I suffer, maybe a lot of you can relate to this, from ADCD, Attention Deficit Cleaning Disorder. It's where you start to clean one thing but get distracted by other things that need to be cleaned, which causes you to bounce around to different jobs only to end up doing a lot of work with nothing to show for it. And Saturday I was very busy getting ready for some company over the weekend, and my husband was in the room with me, and he said, "What are you doing?" And it seems like you go to one thing and it reminds you of another thing, and then you have to pick up something else. And so, Amanda, go ahead and see if that video clip works.
I went to the doctor yesterday. He told me I have age-activated attention deficit disorder. This is how it manifests itself. I need to wash my car. As I start towards the garage, I notice that there are some letters on the kitchen table. I separate the post into bills and junk mail. I go to put the junk mail in the bin and notice that it's full. But then I think that I may as well pay the bills first. I take my checkbook from my bag and see that there is only one check left. So I go to my desk in my study where I find a bottle of Coke, which I had been drinking. I am about to look for a checkbook when I notice that the Coke is warm, so I decide to put it in the fridge. As I enter the kitchen, I notice the flowers on the worktop need water. I put the Coke down and notice my glasses, which I've been looking for all the morning. I decide that I'd better take them back to my desk. But first I must water the flowers. I spot the TV remote on the table. I know we'll be looking for it tonight, so I decide to take it back to the living room. But first I must water the flowers. I splash some water on them, but some spills on the floor, so I put the remote down to wipe up the spill. Then I continue down the hall, trying to remember what I was planning to do. Now it's the end of the day. The car isn't washed, the bills aren't paid, there's a warm bottle of Coke on the worktop. The flowers aren't watered, there's only one check in my checkbook. I can't find the remote or my glasses, and I don't know what I did with the car keys. I try to work out why nothing got done today, and I'm baffled because I've been busy, and now I'm really tired.
You know why that's funny, don't you? Because you can relate. I showed that to my husband, and he said, well, the ladies will probably enjoy it. I don't think he really got it, but we understand that, don't we? It's so funny. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail, and I think if you're not careful, how many of you have good intentions? And I do, and I get really sad sometimes when I know I intended to do this and I intended to do that, and you never really got to it. And if you're not careful, you'll be busy, busy, busy doing things and not truly doing the most important things and making discipleship happen. 2 Corinthians 9:2 says, your zeal has provoked many, and I want to provoke you in this area of hospitality, and I also want your hospitality to provoke others and to encourage others. Hospitality sounds so warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? It sounds so inviting. We have a hospitality team here at our church. They're the welcome committee that greet our visitors out in the parking lot. And hospitality says, welcome. In your notes, hospitality is a tool. It's a tool that the Lord uses, and it can make a difference. God has blessed it. The dictionary defines hospitality as the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers. And hospitality can be a lot of work. And some people will avoid it at all costs. It involves money, it involves shopping, it involves cooking, it involves cleaning. Also, I think it's safe to say that there might be some ladies in this room who are not doing what you can in this area of hospitality, because it does take time and money and cleaning and cooking and some sacrifice. The investment and the benefit, though, of hospitality are so worth it, and they far outweigh any work that would be involved in it. And I'd like to say that I was reared in a Christian home, but my parents were not full-time ministry people. They weren't staff, but they were very faithful in this area. I can remember as a child, the Sisks, in fact, they were on deputation. I was a little girl. They came to my home. My parents hosted them, and they stayed at our house. And they would always reach out to new people and have people into their home, not because they were paid to, or because they were on a staff and they had to. They were faithful people and they led by example. So none of us have an excuse to not do this. So I have an acrostic, purpose. Keep in mind that hospitality has a purpose. And I know you're busy ladies, and let's not just be doing a bunch of stuff for no reason at all to fill our time, but hospitality is well worth it and has a good purpose. First of all, people, new Christians or baby Christians, need to see a Christian home. Don't take that for granted. The Bible admonishes us to be an example of the believers in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. And stop making excuses. Everybody think of one excuse in your head of why you don't have hospitality. If I don't say it, raise your hand. I want to hear your excuse. My house isn't clean. We're too busy. We don't have the money. I'm too tired. I have small children. I'm nursing. We don't have a nice house. We don't have nice furniture. We don't have enough room. Do you have a different excuse? What's your excuse? Did I cover it? We all have excuses. There's always something. But you know what? You can be your worst enemy, and you can put more demands on yourself than anybody else ever would. I have never walked into anybody's house looking for dirt, looking for dust, bringing my white gloves. I don't look for people's dirt. In fact, we're having company tonight, and Pastor and his wife are staying at our house, and we weren't planning on having company tonight. We had company Sunday night. Do you ever go through, does your husband ever ask you to do something, or somebody ask you to do something, and at first it's like, no. And then you think about it, it's like, well, maybe I can do that later. It's like, okay, no problem. Well, last night we got home, and he said, what do you think about having company again such and such a night? And I'm like, you're kidding, right? We just had 30 people over last night. And so, but then I thought about it, went to bed. I got up this morning, I sent him a text. I said, no problem, we'll make it work, you know? And I got to thinking, when you have company at night, it's so true, you can't see things. You can't see a smudge on the window. The dust doesn't show as much as it does for lunch, you know? It's really true, so... So we're having company again tonight. But seriously, you are your worst enemy. Stop comparing yourself to the little Susie Homemaker or Martha Stewart friend that you have, and just do what you can. You've heard KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple. Keep it simple, Susie Homemaker, and do what you can. You know how to keep a clean house? Have company often. What do you do if the doorbell rings unexpectedly? You can pick up something, can't you? Or if you know somebody's coming over in 10 minutes, I can clean my house in 10 minutes, let me tell you, and so can you too. I think the pressure helps us all sometimes. Your house doesn't have to be perfect, but it can be clean and orderly. And the Bible tells us that, let everything be done decently and in order. And your attitude is what will make you be proactive in this area of hospitality. Your attitude will help you to do it, or it'll keep you from doing it. Next, they need to see us in our home. Sometimes I'm really amazed at how people, women, can behave with their husbands. I keep hearing this word in my head. I've said it over and over again. I was talking with somebody yesterday. You know what we all are? We're sheep. And people are sheep, and the ladies that you minister to, they're sheep. Keep telling yourself they're sheep. They really don't know. They need help, and they need your example. And they need to come into your home. They need to see how you treat your husband and how you serve your husband. They need to see our home. Not that it's a showpiece or anything. They need to see that you have scripture on the wall. I think of a family that we had visited in their home, and they had this humongous wine rack, and then we had them to our home. And I hope that they saw the difference. They need to see that. That's very common for them. And there's something about seeing somebody in their home. And there's something about when I go to visit someone in our class and I see them in their home, you kind of identify that. I think it helps. Have you ever been to somebody's home and it just helps you to know them better or understand them better? They need that. And then next, involve your children. Let them help. My kids are now all married, and I miss that. And we always invite the kids over to come. Would you like to come over and help? Help clean, help set up, light the candles. They can. And you know what? I don't care what your kids' age are. They can all do something to help. You know, light candles, help greet at the door, put names on the cups and serve beverages. But your kids can all help. And one day they're going to grow up, and Lord willing, they're going to do likewise, and you will have taught them. What is our purpose next? You is unite them with other faithful Christians. Bonding with other Christians and making new friends, the old with the new. Like Sunday night, we had a bunch of preachers over, but we also invited a couple of faithful families from our class, and we invited a new couple. And it was such a blessing to really watch that new couple to start to bond, to get names down, and to feel like they were a part. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends has shown himself friendly. And one of the greatest joys is when you do have people into your home, and then over time, as they grow, you see them having people into their home. And that's our reproduce, be a discipler. And it's in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, to teach others also. The ministry is not about building lives, or not buildings, but not programs, but people, isn't it? It's about building lives, mentoring and modeling, and it takes time. It's an investment. It's like having a baby. The work begins after you lead them to the Lord. And I thought about, you know, why have people over? It's a part of our personal discipleship ministry as unto the Lord. And when you're serving your guests, in your heart, in your mind, in your attitude, say, Lord, I'm doing this as unto you. if Jesus were down here, he would be hospitable. Do it as unto the Lord, and you'll reap the benefits. P is hospitality, gives you the chance to be personable. And I talk to a lot of ladies at church. You pass them, you say, hi, how are you doing? And it's very surface most of the time. But when you have them into your home, they see another side of you and another dimension of you, and you can sit and talk, and they will more likely open up to you in that setting. Don't be guilty of the mistake. You may be hurt. You may be guarded. You may be guarded and not even realize it. Maybe because you've been hurt, you're afraid of being hurt again, or you don't want to get too close to people. Either you're hurting or you're going to get hurt. It's just part of life, and it's going to happen. And don't let Satan put that fear in your heart or that hurdle to not be hospitable because you've been hurt. And hosting is in your home is a way of giving yourself. I like that saying, it's not so much what's on the table that matters, it's what's on the chairs. People are important, not things, not what you're serving, and not the place setting. 1 Peter 4:9, Pastor actually mentioned that this morning. You probably didn't catch it, but I did because I'm teaching on hospitality. And he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You can open your home for missions conferences. We open our home for the leadership conference, college days, youth conference. And your church has events and opportunities too. And go up to your pastor or pastor's wife if you can't and say, you know, if you ever need help, I'm happy to. And we've done this before. This one's a few years ago, but for Father's Day to help Pastor and Mrs. Chapel, we had a guest speaker that day. And we said, we'll have lunch at our house. And that way they didn't have to do anything. They could come over briefly and leave. You could do that to be a blessing to your pastor. And you know people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And having them into your home is a way of sharing of yourself and showing them that you care. O is obedient. The Lord commands us to be hospitable. Now think about this. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:2 says, instruct a pastor to be given to hospitality. And our pastor and his wife have definitely led in this area. They are great, a great host and hostess. But we have always told our kids, obedience brings blessing. And hospitality is obedience, and therefore hospitality brings blessings. And I love that. S is shows that they're accepted. Doesn't everyone want to feel like they belong? Doesn't everyone want to feel like they're accepted? And I saw that in that one couple Sunday night that I think they really felt like they had some names and faces and that they belonged. We have never had company and wish that we didn't. We always receive the greater blessing for it, no matter how much work it is. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And of course, this is a given, but it's worth saying that fellowship should never consist of gossip or tearing others down. People should leave your house and feel like they've been edified and encouraged, obviously. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the good of use of the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And E is encouragement, Romans 12:13, given to hospitality. And don't let pride keep you from being a blessing. I won't have you raise your hands, but how many of you, don't raise your hand, are perfectionists? Because those people who are perfectionists really can hurt yourself because you never feel like you measure up. You never do it just right, so you just don't do it at all. And don't be that way in the area of hospitality. Do what you can. Some of the excuses we mentioned, you know, if you think about it, they all stem from pride. And that's a strong word, I know, but it's true. Okay, my house isn't clean. Is that pride? My house isn't clean, so I can't let people see what my house really looks like. We're too busy. We don't have the money. I'm too tired. We don't have a nice house. We don't have nice furniture. We don't have enough room. That's all about who? Self. It really is. Hebrews 10:24-25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be encouragers. We can all get discouraged sometimes. And if you sit around and think, well, I'm the one that's discouraged. I wish somebody would invite me to their house and encourage me. But we know how that goes. It's a blessing to what? Be a blessing. when you do something for somebody that's hurting, it's a blessing. So when you have people into your home and you encourage others, you get the blessing. So let's look at purpose. P is people need to see a Christian home. Unite them with other faithful Christians and be that bridge they need in their Christian growth. Reproduce yourself, be personable, be obedient. The Lord commands us to be hospitable. S, it shows that they're accepted. We can make them feel that they belong. We can make a difference. And E is encouragement, given to hospitality. And let's not just be hearers. Let's be doers. My life can be a bridge or a barrier to others. In everything that I do, someone can see me with the wrong attitude, the wrong tone, responding incorrectly. Am I a bridge or a barrier? By having people into my home or not having people in my home, am I a bridge or a barrier? And I want to be a bridge. Hospitality can be the bridge that helps somebody and makes the difference. Do you have anybody in your church? Maybe somebody will come to mind when I say this, that they've been coming and they've even been faithful, but they've never really clicked with anybody. You know, everybody wants a friend. Can you imagine coming to church and not knowing anyone's names? There's probably people that sit around you. You know, that's what we do. We go to the same area. You know, people sit in the same area. Do you know their names? Some people, I really think, struggle more in this area, but it's not an excuse. You may know somebody that would never say hi to you unless you said hi to them first. You know, there's a saying, you need to learn to say what you probably said. It is what it is. And you cannot control other people. You can only control yourself. You be the one with the smile on your face. You be the one that looks them in the eye and says, hi, how are you doing today? Or, hi, my name is, you know. I've seen you come into the church, but I haven't been able to meet you yet. What's your name? You be the one that's proactive. The older I get, and I'm getting older, age has nothing to do with wisdom, and age has nothing to do with maturity. That was a disappointing moment for me one day when I realized that, because when you're young, you think all the older women are wise and mature and discerning, but that's not always true. And you can have wisdom beyond your years at a young age, and wisdom comes from the Lord, the book of James says. So you do what you can do, and you be the one, you be the big one, you be the strong one, that steps up to the plate and you do what you can do, especially in this area of hospitality. So a few minutes ago when you prayed and I said for you to say, Lord, what could I do in this area of hospitality? What did the Lord say to you? I want you to get at the end of your notes and write down just one word or something that will remind you. And when you look at these notes later, I mean, you can write it out if you don't think anybody's looking over your shoulder, whatever. Write out what the Lord just spoke to you about and showed you. I need to do this once a month, or I need to take so-and-so out to lunch this month. And maybe you can meet somebody before or after church for a cup of coffee. I have a friend, and her husband doesn't like to have hospitality. She is definitely farther along in her spiritual journey than her husband is, but she is able to do things like, I mean, she can't open her doors and have a house full of company. He doesn't want to, but that's not an excuse to not do what the Lord wants her to do. So she's creative and thinks of other avenues. You might be in those shoes, but there's always something that each of us can do. So now commit this to the Lord and decide that you're going to be used of God. And I hope that all of you ladies will come back to our leadership conference next year. And someone usually teaches on hospitality every year, but I hope that you can truly say that you look back. Now, we talked about good intentions, and Pastor always says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if you don't write something down on your calendar, I'm going to take this person out or meet them for lunch, or before church, I'm going to meet somebody out on the bench at church and just sit there and have a Diet Coke with them for 15 minutes before church starts. You can all reach out and encourage somebody. Everybody needs encouragement, and you might have a friend that's a really close friend that's doing great, and she's your big mentor and encouragement, but there's going to be a day when she needs a little encouragement too. You can encourage others through so many different ways, even writing a note. And so homework number one is to go to your pastor's wife, a lot of them are already in here, and say, you know, hey, if you ever need help. Some of the ladies that came to our house last Sunday night, helped me. To tell you the truth, I didn't really need the help. I wanted the help, but I had most everything prepared ahead of time, but they loved helping me. They just loved to pitch in. Usually, in fact, they all said, can I bring something? In this particular time, I had something. But that's a great way to mentor ladies. And sometimes we have larger fellowships, and sometimes I make everything, but sometimes I don't. And it will commit people if you invite them over and say, hey, would you bring an appetizer? Hey, would you bring a bag of chips? Would you bring some soda? And they will. And then they're more apt to not back out because they know, oh, she thinks I'm bringing this, so I need to come and bring my part. And that works too. And I'm not a very creative person, but I'm really good at stealing ideas. And I'm sure a lot of you have better ideas than I do in this area, but the sky's the limit. Some people are so creative, and they can just do so much to the detail with appetizers and how they arrange the food. That's not me, but you know what? That doesn't stop me. My house is clean. The food's going to be hot or whatever, and, you know, they're going to be full when they leave. And I can do what I can do, but I'm not a Martha Stewart. And so you do what you can do and let the Lord use you. And I have some recipes. We're going to pass those out in a minute. Let's pray first, Edie, but I hope some of them will encourage you. In fact, go ahead and pass them out. Well, time out. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And I really pray, Father, that this wouldn't be just another session, but that you spoke to every lady's heart. And I know that every lady needs to step up to the plate in this area and just go to another level. We can get so complacent and really want to do these things, but never put a plan and a calendar item behind them. For some ladies in here, Lord, I'm sure that the husbands are more zealous and they're dragging their feet, or maybe just the opposite. Help the ladies to be right on board and used of you, and then we want to be obedient to you, Lord, and get your blessings in our life. Thank you so much for this conference. Please speak to us this evening in the session. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so pass out the recipes, and I wanted to just add one little thing. Let's see, it's my chocolate fondue. My husband and I were at a restaurant not too long ago, and I make chocolate fondue all the time. We love it, and especially for ice cream sundaes. He likes to put pretzels in it, bananas, I think are his favorite, strawberries. You can put Rice Krispie treats, marshmallows, whatever you like. But he said, wow, this is really good chocolate. I said, is it better than mine? And you know, it was like, he was wanting to say yes, but he wouldn't. So I said, you just wait. He said, well, sometimes yours is a little, like, he didn't say crystally, but sometimes the sugar doesn't totally melt. So I was on a mission this weekend, and I tweaked it a little bit. So where it says semi-sweet morsels on there, I think I did kind of half semi-sweet morsels and semi-milk chocolate. There are a few ladies at my house Sunday night. Do you like my chocolate? It was good. So that really, if you do that, make it half milk chocolate, half semi-sweet, it's called. But that stuff's to die for. And it was real creamy, so I said to my husband Sunday night, was it better than the red straw? And he said, yeah. And I was teasing him, if you say no, I'm never making it again. So it was good.